the bull then, helping him to his feet, grinning with pride, turning him to face his audience so they could see the wetness of his lips, the flush on his cheeks, so that he could see them touching themselves. Murmured instructions and questions, less of a show, that's right, stretch your arms out, anything hurting? Then finally the rope, arms behind his back again, loop after loop and knot after knot around his shoulders, across his chest.
You're going to kneel again,
the bull said, held him by his bound wrists as he moved, the strain on his shoulders making him groan.
Still with us?
Oh, Dorian said, flashed a playful smile to the others.
Oh, yes. Shit,
the bull said.
You look wrecked already. Imagine how you'll feel by the time I'm done with you. Promises,
Dorian murmured, another more secretive little smile for Evan, as though they were sharing a joke. Evan laughed, hopelessly aroused. Well, naturally. The bull knelt behind him, one knee on the ground, one against his side.
Oh, you doubt me?
The bull whispered against his ear. The shift of his lips, an unseen smile. His head yanked back by a rough hold on his hair, and the bull's teeth hard against his neck, so that his whole body jerked with the warm bloom of pain. Fuck, someone said.
Is that all?
Dorian gasped, because that seemed to be the game, because that seemed to be the best way to earn another mark. And sure enough, the bull's teeth dug into his shoulder this time. Harder, harder, the sting of broken skin. Dorian laughed, breathlessly exhilarated, twisted against the bull's hold to sharpen the pain, his shoulders straining, back arched. His cock ached, so hard on display for everyone, his neck arched. If the bull would just fuck him. The bull released him so abruptly that he might have overbalanced had he not been steadied at the last moment by a hand between his shoulder blades.
Easy,
the bull said.
Going to tie your legs. You want that?
I was under the impression, Dorian said, that this was rather more about what you want. I seem to recall you winning the game.
The words were right, but his tone failed. Too desperate, too unsteady, rather embarrassing, really, with an audience. The bull's hand stroked his back, soothing. Nothing you don't want. Never anything you don't want.
Ankle to thigh,
the bull said.
All right.
Dorian nodded, a deep breath to collect himself. In truth, it was precisely the pause he needed. Soothing, the process of being bound, the certainty of the bull's hands. The bull crouched before him, blocking him from view for a moment. A searching look, and then, when Dorian smiled and nodded, a slow kiss. There. Dorian let go. Eyes closed, leaning into that sole point of contact until the last of his tension was gone, leaving him pleasantly adrift. It was only then that the bull stood again.
Eyes open,
he said, bending down from behind Dorian to speak quietly into his ear, a stage whisper.
You're going to see exactly how much they all want you. Look.
The bull's hand on his head, turning it so that he was looking at Murad, hand curled loosely around his own cock, gripping rather than stroking. Nishok, cum on his hand, his cock already half hard again. Evan's gloriously flushed face.
Hey, Murad,
the bull said conversationally.
Your table in good shape?
If it's not, you can pay to replace it,
Murad said. The bull laughed.
Fair.
So, Dorian kneeling on the table like a display piece, a practical demonstration in every way he loved to be touched. And oh, how unfair it was that the bull should have them all catalogued so thoroughly. How wonderful. Now with tenderness and now harshly, the bull's body warm against his back, gentle kisses to his bruised and bloody shoulder, harsh claws on his belly. No contact at all, but three of the bull's fingers twisting inside him, rough thrusts that had him crying out. Now tugged sharply back by the ropes around his arms, now forced forward with a heavy hand on his back, until his thighs screamed at the strain. Sharp blows to his arse. The bull bending to kiss his thigh, and then to bite it, suck at it, until it was surely going to bruise. The same treatment for his arse. Never a single touch to his cock, of course. One of the bull's favourite denials. One of Dorian's also, certainly.
"You're still trying to be quiet,"
the bull said.
"Don't. You're allowed to fuck whoever you want here. You know nobody cares. Let go."
And then he shifted his fingers in Dorian until he found Dorian's prostate and rubbed it until Dorian screamed. Then he did it again. Dorian could hardly keep his eyes open. His head was rolled back against the bull's shoulder, his arms were trembling, but the bull kept up a steady narration for him, exactly how Evan was playing with his own balls, the look on Murad's face when Dorian shook with pleasure. Dorian was aware, not of any specific person beyond the bull, perhaps, but of being watched as he lost control. Avid attention.
"Hey,"
the bull murmured.
"Going to untie you now before you hurt yourself."
Dorian whined in protest, although he knew the bull had the right of it.
"I'll tie your hands again in front of you,"
the bull said.
"All right?"
Nod. One of the bull's hands firm on his side, the other unpicking the knots.
"You'll fuck me, won't you?"
Dorian mumbled.
"Yeah,"
the bull said.
"Shit, yeah. Patience."
Someone else said something, but Dorian missed the words.
"Oh yeah," the bull said. "Damn right he is."
And there was that pride again. He's proud of me. The worn surface of the table was smooth against his back as the bull settled him on it, wrists and ankles carefully massaged. Dorian submitted to the gentle treatment without protest, laughed quietly when the bull kissed the inside of one wrist and then the other, hummed contentedly as the bull looped rope loosely around them, padded it with cloth to stop it from chafing against the already sore skin. Dorian stretched, arched, arms above his head, loosening up his shoulders.
"Going to fuck you now,"
the bull said.
"Let's let them all see how well you take my dick, huh?"
Dorian agreed, parted his legs readily. In truth, he had half lost track of the game they were playing. It all seemed unimportant. He only wanted the bull's cock inside him so terribly. It would feel so good. It would be practically too much. A slow, slick slide. Dorian sided it, shifted his hips just to feel the drag of the bull's cock against his insides, held gloriously at the tipping point between wonderfully sensitive and uncomfortable. How he loved it, to force more pleasure from his body when it felt as though there was nothing left. But the bull didn't force, of course. He coaxed, held Dorian's hips gently, stroked across the bruises without pressing down on them, then rolled his hips so very, very slowly. Finally, then, the bull slouched in a chair, Dorian on his lap. The bull looked up at him, held eye contact as he guided Dorian down onto his cock again, shifting him, angling him, showing him off. What must it look like, the bull's thick cock sliding into his body like this? Oh, to be able to see it. But he couldn't see anything but the bull's face, and that sight, the intent focus in his expression, the care. Are you doing all right? Is this what you need? It was more than enough. It was...
Oh,
Dorian gasped.
Oh, a bull. Oh.
Raised his bound hands to the bull's face, fingers pressed clumsily to the bull's lips. The bull kissed them, pulled them gently out of the way with one hand, drew Dorian in closer with the other. They kissed. A curious simplification, that, for a thing which shook Dorian to his core, sent his hands scrabbling uselessly against the bull's chest, longing to hold. When they parted, what piece of his feelings did he manage to keep hidden? Not a one of them. It was all on his face. He saw the bull cataloguing it. All of it? Perhaps not. Enough. The bull's lips trembled. Another kiss. Fiercer. Messier. More hurried. They shuddered together, forehead to forehead, the bull's body curling forward, shoulders hunching to bring them together. Fuck, fuck, oh bull, fuck, I... Dorian's breath dragged roughly in his throat, came in gasps. The bull's arms were tight around him, hands splayed across his back, his hip. The bull's head was bowed, his eyes screwed shut. Dorian's hand remained pressed to the bull's chest. The thud of his heart was heavy against them. Dorian's own pulse thrummed in his wrists, beat against the ropes. Never let me go. Move, he told himself. Move, do something, laugh, and say something a little provocative. A look and a smile cast over your shoulder. Didn't you enjoy the show? But it was beyond him. Shit, Mirad muttered from somewhere behind him. The bull raised his head, but he kept his hold on Dorian firm. Some silent communication took place. The bull said nothing, but Mirad sighed, said something under his breath that had the others stumbling to their feet, heading for the door. It closed quietly behind them. The bull's hands left Dorian's back, lifted him so that the bull's softening cock slid out of him, settled him back to get at his hands.
Fuck,
Dorian said, with feeling. The bull, untying Dorian, fumbled over the knots, cursing quietly.
Your hands are shaking,
Dorian said. The bull cursed again. A deep breath, another eye closed. His hands steadied. The rope loosened easily. The bull clutched at Dorian's wrists, seemed only to remember his strength after a moment.
Sorry,
he said.
You all right? Are you?
Dorian asked, reaching a hand up to rest against the bull's cheek.
Bull, I apologize for my lapse. I quite lost myself. I should be apologizing,
the bull said, tugged Dorian in close to his chest, held him once more.
Didn't figure it out. Really am slipping. Directness,
Dorian prompted.
If you please. You're usually rather good at it.
His voice shook a little, turned a little sharp despite every effort.
Not with this,
the bull said. An uncertain noise.
Look, I figured you needed someone to take care of you. I didn't think...
that it had to be you.
Dorian laughed, eyes stinking. If the bull's hands left him now, he would come undone. Only their weight on his skin kept him contained in his body.
Oh, you were quite entirely dense on occasion, after all. But I can't precisely fault you.
I've been trying to pretend, in my own way, that my feelings could be other than they are. It would be ever so much more convenient.
The bull brushed a tear from Dorian's cheek.
You know I'm in love with you,
he said, as though explaining first mathematical principles to a child. Dorian made a humiliatingly strangled sound, a kind of sob, a kind of laugh. It welled up in his chest, a terrible pressure, became a bitter thing on his tongue that he couldn't help but spit out. Here, take it, everything you've ever dreamt of, love and trust and excellent sex. Now leave it.
That's entirely unhelpful,
he said, his voice rising.
What am I to do with this information, precisely?
I know,
the bull said, his mouth twisted strangely.
I needed to say it.
Vishante kafas, Dorian said. What kind of tasteless joke is this?
Pretty shitty one,
the bull said. His arms tightened. Breathe, Dorian reminded himself. In, out. The smell of the bull, the smell of sex, the pitch and timber smell of the ship beneath it all. Never let me go.
You haven't asked me to stay, he said.
The bulls turned to laugh. The bulls turned to make the thing sound bitter.
Can't do that, he said. You might say yes, and then you'd hate me for it.
Well, there's no need to be right about everything,
Dorian said, with perhaps a little more sarcasm than was strictly warranted. A sigh.
Bull, we have to move. We're taking up Merad's cabin with our dramatics.
Don't think I can manage it,
the bull said, and probably meant that he didn't think Dorian could. Well, he wasn't wrong there, either.
I suppose, Dorian said shakily, that I must consent to having you hold me for a little longer, then.
One might, for a short time, allow oneself to cling.
Yeah, the bull said. Awful. How are you going to cope?
We all make do as best we can, Dorian said, the words muffled against the bull's neck.
Oh, how filthy he was, sticky with sweat, with his own cum, with the bull's. How much he needed to bathe, how much he never wanted to move. The bull's chest heaved. Inhale, exhale.
I guess we do,
he said. On their way east, they had skirted the coast. Now, seeing the great blood-red sails that the fleets of Tevinter favoured, they had drawn further out to sea. To the northwest, the smoke haze of Saharon grew more and more pronounced. At the helm, the bull was tense, jaw clenched.
Is there no peace to be had?
Dorian said. The bull only snorted, relaxed a fraction at Dorian's hand on his shoulder.
Maros Shukra,
he said after a moment, and laughed.
No, there's no peace.
You mean, I think, something more personal than I had in mind.
The bull shrugged.
Saharon was a lot of years ago.
And that should matter? Dorian asked.
Come now.
Yeah, the bull said. Acknowledgement of a sort.
You don't have to sit here and watch me work, you know.
Oh, I'm afraid I do,
Dorian said, voice soft, felt the bull's shoulders sink.
Yeah,
he said again. This ache they both felt, a terrible, lingering thing. The wind, at least, was not favourable, and nor were the sea currents. Atashi didn't sail particularly well close to the wind, and her progress was a long, slow back and forth, painstaking work, taxing for everyone. Oh, how guilty a feeling to be glad for that. And all the same, the outlying islands around Saharon became dark shapes on the horizon, but they were slow to grow clear.
I was wondering, Dorian said thoughtfully. Some of your men wear rope work on their arms and legs. Why is that?
It's Kunari tradition to begin with,
the bull said.
You work it into patterns. It directs your focus, and the result is a reminder. Different patterns for different roles. Priesthood loves that shit. Vashoth don't really use it the same way, though.
And here I thought that your skill with knots was entirely a productive of creative indecency, Dorian said.
The bull laughed more genuinely this time.
Other way round.
So what do Vashoth use that kind of knot work for?
Simple messages, really,
the bull said.
There's a whole bunch of patterns. Pretty sure most companies have their own variations. Some use it for ranks. Not us, though. We're not exactly a Vashoth company. Not when we're all together. We're just a company with Vashoth in it.
What does gear's knot work mean, then?
Dorian asked.
Just for example.
Means he's married,
the bull said. It was Dorian's turn to laugh.
Oh, how the Vidasala would adore that.
The bull grinned.
I know. I thought I'd hurt myself laughing when I figured it out. It's sweet, I think. I think I get it. Took me a while, but...
A sidelong look at Dorian. They both sobered.
Yes,
Dorian said, leant tentatively against the bull, not enough to keep him from steering.
I see what you mean.
What else might have been said? This Dorian did not get to find out, in the rush of activity that was needed to bring the ship onto a fresh tack. But the thought remained with him for the rest of the day, followed him to his sleep that night, curled against the bull's side. Sleep was an uneasy thing. In the dark, in the middle of the night, they shifted against each other, woke disoriented and needing and unable to hide it, clung together again, again, again.
If I were to ask you for a token,
Dorian said,
would you give me one?
Yes,
the bull said.
Just like that?
Just like that? Just like that.
You haven't asked if I plan to keep fucking your crew,
Dorian said, sighing into the darkness.
You spoke of love, but does that change things?
The bull said, stroking a big hand down Dorian's back.
It's been good for you, right? Getting to fuck around, no shame and no big drama, just fun. Don't have to stop unless you want to. Don't have to keep going if you don't want to. Doesn't mean I feel less for you either way. That's fucking. This is... something else. That includes pretty amazing fucking, sure.
So easily said. Yes, it had been good for him. A sort of ease that he could hardly approach with the bull, where everything carried such significance. That edge of desperation. Oh, bull... In his youth, he would have taken it as a rejection of a sort, despite all evidence to the contrary, would have snarled angry words he couldn't have taken back. That terrifying, giddy desire to be owned, that craving. To be the center of someone's world, to the exclusion of all else. Rather less fun in practice, of course. Jealousy had served him well on occasion, but only as a play, contained to moments. Now he only studied the bull's face, almost entirely shadowed as it was. Considered.
But would you believe that I love you? Yes,
the bull said.
Oh, yes, I'd believe it. You think I don't know the difference between how you look at them and how you look at me? Maybe I should give you a token. Make sure you remember it.
How improbable it seemed. How far from the stories of his childhood, the limits of the world that had once seemed possible. In the dark, filled with that aching, waiting pain, it was all too easy to murmur, please, to fall into a long, desperate kiss, into sex, the bull slicking the insides of Dorian's thighs and sliding his cock between them, the full lengths of their bodies pressed together. Frantic, quiet words. Whatever you want. Everything you need. Love.
After the bull lit the lamp, a low flame flickering uncertainly, barely enough to see by, took Dorian's arm and kissed it, the inside of the wrist, the soft skin below the elbow. A soft cord twisted into knot after knot, a light pressure against the skin of his upper arm. Dorian thought he was spent, shuddered at it. The bull said only single words, voice matter of fact, tracing his knots as he did so. Safety. Loyalty. My heart.
They'll all know I'm yours, Dorian said quietly, a type of wonder. They'll see it when they fuck me.
The bull groaned low in his throat.
Good,
he said.
You deserve to be shown off.
A kiss to Dorian's sternum, right above the place where the ache of their imminent parting lived. Kneel. Dorian had always looked good on his knees. He knew it well. Looked good with his head pulled back to show off the line of his throat. Looked good with a cock in his mouth. Looked good covered in cum and sweat. He carried himself well. With conviction. Naturally, he looked good. Naturally, he was admired. One after another, they came to him, fucking his mouth, letting him stroke them until they spilled across his skin. It hardly occurred to him at first that they were all taking a great deal of care with the bull's knots. They all remained unsoiled, untouched even.
Gorgeous, Reth said, grinning down at him.
You going to go to him and have him clean you up?
Oh no, Dorian said. It's easy. There's nothing at all to be ashamed of.
He'll come to me, of course. You don't imagine I'd deprive him of seeing the mess you've all made of me in situ, do you?
You're doing all right? Talan asked.
Take a moment. Drink.
A breathing space, easy talk, laughter. Evan rubbed the worst tension out of his shoulders, out of his neck.
Do you remember the time? And then he... You're shitting me.
This too would be difficult to leave, Dorian thought. People with whom it's easy to laugh, even naked, who respect the things that are significant and play with the things that aren't. Dorian kept moving, and time passed too quickly. Fuck, argue with May, drink, clean and carry, trim the sails, perform, perform, perform. Be brilliant and sparkling and at the heart of every gathering.
Hey,
the bull said, gathering Dorian to him.
You can slow down. It's all right.
It's very much not all right, Dorian snapped, screwed his eyes shut, heaved a sigh.
No, no, I know. I apologize, as ever, for speaking unfairly. A habit I remain unable to shake. How does that go down in the magisterium?
The bull asked. Dorian laughed.
Oh, you know tolerably well. Screaming fires the odd assassin.
He turned his face against the bull's chest, breathed in deeply to calm himself.
I must confess, I haven't missed Blood Ritual Tuesdays. No, really.
Tell yourself, this is good. Keep going. The pressure in Dorian's chest only grew more unbearable. The words didn't come.
What am I going to do?
He asked, allowing himself the helplessness that welled in him, here alone, for the two of them alone. So few days now, until he must wear a mask again, stand before his fellow magistrates and plead for change.
Am I to pretend never to have fallen in love? Put this behind me in its entirety.
I know you're clever. Tell me.
I'd come with you,
the bull said.
I know you're clever.
Tell me.
I'd come with you,
the bull said.
I know you won't let me. I know you won't let me.
I could neither ask it nor allow it, Dorian said. Not, I don't want it.
You have your own life to lead, as I have mine.
Oh, how he wanted it. The bull's ropes lay solid against his arm. But here, the flaw in the plan.
De Winter would destroy you. It will probably destroy you,
the Dorian said.
Not the first time you've had a near miss with a big plot, I hear.
Dorian closed his eyes against the inevitable truth of it.
Oh, I am very well aware,
he said.
And yet I am bound. I ask you, Bull, what do I do? What do we do? Would you have me only in fragments when we happen to meet at some function of May's? Be my poorly kept secret? We would hardly speak. You hardly have an address to which I can write.
He shivered against the bull.
I don't want to pretend that this didn't matter,
he said.
I mean to say, doesn't. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the bull said.
Me neither. And yet,
Dorian said,
that isn't a plan.
They rested in silence against one another, intense, unhappy thought.
I fought when I was younger,
Dorian said,
for the right to love whoever I might love without fear. I fought to be allowed my lovers openly, to keep myself from marriage for the sake of airs and appearances. All right,
the bull said, attentive.
My father tried to change me,
Dorian said very quietly, as though he could lose the words under the sound of water and timber and sailcloth, and yet still have them said. Old wounds that ached in the cold. But the bull was so warm.
He did other things at first, of course. Dragged me home by force and all that, the usual sort of things. I was so very unrepentant, and he claimed to have seen no other way to make me safe, happy. What are the lives of a few slaves, I suppose? Not to mention that it would very likely have ruined my mind. I don't think he ever understood why it all disgusted me so, in truth. He thought I would forgive him with time. And then he died. And I never found anyone who was willing to...
He fumbled after the words.
To take that sort of chance with me. Sex, of course, but nothing else. And now I know that you would, and I can't allow you. Please understand that I don't refuse to take you with me lightly, or for lack of care. I simply... Yeah,
the bull said softly.
I know. Look, we don't have to decide what to do. We have business, both of us. May knows how to get letters to me. Don't think there's an easy answer to this one. We'll just have to... figure it out as we go.
And if I write, you'll answer? Dorian asked.
I'll answer,
the bull said, kissed him with gentle care until Dorian could allow himself to sink properly into it.
I'll always answer.
Easy to promise, but Dorian was hardly going to do anything but cling to the hope on offer. Such a need for it to be true, even though it could never be enough. A hand on his shoulder in passing, a chaste kiss to the back of his neck as he bent over his writing, a quartered orange placed on a plate beside his books. It was not quite a pretense that nothing had changed, was changing, would change. A deferral, rather. Acknowledge the problem and make the most of what remains.
Essays,
the bull said, looking over his shoulder. His hand became the centre of Dorian's world, warm and heavy, fingers curling against his collarbone.
A little propaganda against slavery for the benefit of the masses, merely, Dorian said. I've been rather lax with my writing of late. It seemed like the moment to do something about it. Could Adar speak to me right now, she would certainly tell me so herself.
In fact, she would probably tell him to sleep, and then pass on Sarah's latest suggestion for what might charitably be referred to as a work of political satire, and then tell him to sleep again. But all the same, she was very fond of his more overwrought pamphlets, indulgent like the proud parent he'd never had. How far you've come, Dorian. Do remember to eat.
Let me see,
the bull said, and Dorian handed him his completed drafts, and couldn't even find it in himself to feel offended when the bull started making notes in the margins. Perhaps it was the quality of his suggestions that did it. Perhaps it was the comfortable press of his shoulder against Dorian's as they worked. Later, and they drank wine from the bottle, passed back and forth between them, where they were settled together on the bull's bed. The taste of the bull's mouth blended through it. Dorian leant back against the bull's chest, draped an arm across the bull's knee.
"Tell me a story," he said, "one I already know."
The bull hummed.
"Am I meant to make a joke?"
Dorian swatted at his leg, caressed it in apology.
"Only if it's a funny story, you great lummox." "Hey," the bull said, "just checking."
His arm wrapped around Dorian's waist, hands settled on Dorian's stomach. It might so very easily have turned to sex, the slightest slide downward, fingers teasing just above his cock. But they remained as they were. "I'm not disappointed," Dorian thought hazily. "I want this as much as that. I suppose I ought to have realized sooner that I'd fallen in love."
"A story," he said again. "Tell me about May." "You really are going to fall asleep halfway through this time, aren't you?"
the bull said.
"Of course I am," Dorian said. "I'm quite pleasantly drunk, and I seem to have forgotten to be tense, and I intend to make the most of it. Do you mind?" "Hey, whatever works for you,"
the bull said, and kissed his forehead, and told him a story. When had the bull's hands come to mean comfort, safety? Longer ago than was strictly reasonable, perhaps. Crawling into the bull's bed after sex just to feel them on him, and conscientiously keeping himself from considering why. The bull holding his hand as Reth sucked his cock, only for a moment, but how Dorian had clung to that touch shocked himself with how he craved it. The bull held his hand now, thumb rubbing across Dorian's knuckles. When Dorian's fingers clenched, the bull smiled against his cheek. His other hand rested against the small of Dorian's back, a steadying pressure, keeping him in place, a reminder to keep his hips still,
wonderful and infuriating, and oh, how unimaginable any of this would have been mere months ago. And here they were, at anchor in another smuggler's harbour, not 2 days from Carinus, and... I need to be fucked until I can't think, he'd said. Well then.
Shit, look at you,
the bull said, and the admiration in his voice was enough to make Dorian bite his own lip. An exhale that became a whine.
Waiting. You're so impatient, Cadan.
Well, Dorian said, only a little breathlessly.
If certain people weren't so determined to pretend that we have all the time in the world, then I might not... Oh!
Fingers thrusting more firmly into him. Whose? He let his head fall forward against the bull's shoulder for a moment. Laughter from behind him, rather more breathless even than Dorian's attempted humour. A little self-conscious. Asar, perhaps.
Think he's trying to give you a hint, Asar,
the bull said, but with more gentleness than Dorian could have expected.
What do you say? How about we give him a little bit of what he wants?
It was the bull's hands on his hips that shifted him, pulling him up to his knees on the edge of the bed, one of the bull's broad thighs between them, the bull's hands that brushed across his neck, across his face. The bull's lips that pressed to his forehead. Asar's cock sank slowly into him. Always such endearing caution.
Oh, give me more,
Dorian said.
Patience,
the bull said, took his hand again.
You know you'll get as much as you can take.
Someone laughed. Someone groaned. Muted sounds, as though far away. Dorian's body sang. How strange to feel the wondrous slide of a cock inside one, and yet to be so terribly aware of one's hands, of one's forehead, where a kiss was pressed.
I don't know,
Dorian said, gasped.
Is it ever enough? Guess we'll see,
the bull said. Other hands on Dorian's hips, someone else's cock again. Such a slow pace, this one. How he longed to be fucked a little harder. Although he had come once already, although this much was enough to make him want to writhe at the overstimulation. His legs shook. But the bull's hands cupped his face, stroked his hair, slow, deep kisses that turned messy from the soft laxness of Dorian's mouth.
Bet we can get you hard again,
the bull murmured against Dorian's lips.
Get you off again.
When he exhaled a groan, Dorian breathed it in, a tiny whine to his inhale, as whoever was fucking him ground against him, the smallest movements that kept him so wonderfully full.
Oh yes,
Dorian said.
I would be disappointed otherwise.
That little flare of interest, the first twitch of his cock between his legs. No more than that, not before this man came inside him with a soft grunt.
Easy. Time yet. You need a break?
The bull asked, and Dorian considered the strain on his knees, the ache in his back. Regrettably, he quite probably did.
Only let me sit in your lap for a while,
he said.
I don't want to stop, but my legs... Yeah, I've got you,
the bull said, rearranged him carefully, encouraging him to sit as he was wanted, chest to chest, and Dorian sighed, relief at not having to hold up his own weight.
Hey, you want someone to eat you out? You're a mess. Bet Evan'd love that. What sort of question is that?
Dorian mumbled.
I insist.
Good, Evan said, close by, somewhere close by, to the left.
I was counting on it.
Dorian laughed, pressed his cheek against the bull's chest, against the steady beat of his heart.
Evan's hands rubbed at Dorian's thighs, across his arse, spread him. Oh, Evan breathed. A kiss. The firm slide of his tongue, right through all the oil and cum that had leaked from Dorian, spread messily between his legs as he was fucked and fucked and fucked.
I couldn't agree more,
Dorian said.
Slurred, really.
The bull's laughter, arms around Dorian, holding him in safety, a hand to cup the back of his head.
Oh, would you just... Yes. There. You're going to get hard again just from him sticking his tongue in you, aren't you?
The bull said.
You're fucking amazing. You're something else. Every damn time.
Oh, he was going to get hard again. He was. Evan's tongue was... It felt...
There you are,
the bull said. All that admiration. Always so much admiration.
Shit, yeah. I can feel you getting hard against my stomach.
Unsteady laughter that became a moan as Evan's thumb pressed against Dorian's hole. And afterwards... Alone together, slow, deep breaths in the dark. No tension left in Dorian's body, but his mind was quicker to recover. A pretense of sleep, a slow unease creeping back to him in pieces. It had been good for the evening, and still the day after tomorrow remained.
We're going to figure it out,
the bull said quietly. Dorian exhaled.
I certainly hope so. Hey, it could be worse,
the bull said.
I could be Qunari still.
Nations at war, caught between love and loyalty it is, Dorian said, with a vague attempt at disdain.
Your sense of humor is as questionable as your sense of fashion. As it is, I'll be lucky if one or another of my friends doesn't get a hold of this and turn it either into the worst sort of romantic literature or a crude series of sketches. Frankly, I can't decide which prospect appalls me more.
The bull laughed.
I think I might like your friends. Make a preserve me,
Dorian said, but I'm regrettably convinced they'd like you too. Frantic kisses. No slow, sweet patience left. The bull bit Dorian's lip until it bled, Dorian's nails clawing at his shoulders, pinned him down and fucked him. More, more, more. Perhaps he cried. Not a goal he aimed for during sex, certainly. Not a goal for the immediate aftermath, either. But there it was. One had all these wretched feelings, and they insisted on being expressed. When the bull cried, it was a near silent thing. No dramatic sobs, no ugly mess of snot. He just cried, blinked against the flow of tears as though surprised, muttered,
"Shit." "I'm not going to leave,"
Dorian said wetly. His face must be blotchy. Nothing elegant about it, an unfortunate, unavoidable fact.
I fancy I would make an excellent pirate. I have a villainous moustache. Sarah has told me so 1,000 times. Dorian,
the bull said, gripped his arm, dragged him close.
Don't.
No, I know, Dorian said.
I'm afraid I must be allowed to act just a little like a petulant child. I assure you it will pass. It's fine,
the bull said.
Let it out. Probably healthier. Krem's told me that 1,000 times, pretty sure.
And did you ever listen? The bull shrugged.
I tried.
Silence. If one was kind enough to overlook Dorian's stifled sobs.
You might,
he said, hesitated.
You might retie your knotwork. It's loosened a little, and I would like to keep it. For as long as I may. Yeah,
the bull said. And wasn't it odd that he sounded so relieved?
Yes, I can do that.
And what more, then, to say?
how little Dorian had lived with these past months, how little to organize and put away, books and a few sets of robes stuffed into a pack. Then there were only scraped together cosmetics on the ball's desk, begged from crew members, brought by someone or another on shore leave. Coal around the eyes, flicked delicately out at the corners where the wrinkles he had borne for years were slowly deepening. Powder on the lids across his cheeks. Not quite the perfect shade, but it was... it had its effect all the same.
"Well," Dorian said at length, "I suppose I must consider myself more or less armed, then."
A tilt of his chin. "Kiss me." The bull kissed him, lingered against his lips.
"Let me dress you,"
he said, and Dorian could only nod his consent. If one could not trust one's voice, then, well.
So,
reconstruction, or more precisely, to become in oneself a reconstruction, a reasonable facsimile of what had existed before. Dorian sighed, closed his eyes. Undershirt, leathers, draped robes. Piece by piece he let the bull build up the last of his walls for him, with gentle touches and deft hands. Fabric smoothed, buckles adjusted, tested, adjusted again. These are now the bounds of the self. A severance, if only in part.
"There,"
the bull said, a hand laid against Dorian's chest. Dorian Parvis opened his eyes.
"Yes,"
he said, a shattered exhale and a controlled expression.
"Shall we, then?"
Strange to stand on the deck in formal clothing, a still point around which the crew moved, to separate oneself from the rush of activity, to bring the ship into harbour, slide her in alongside an empty stretch of quay. Shouting and running, lines thrown down and tied off. One could grasp Bevan's hand, pat Kay on the shoulder. But he was no longer a part of it. The bull stood a step behind as if he were a bodyguard. From the quay, surely one could not see that his hand was steady against the small of Dorian's back. "He would have come with me," Dorian thought desperately. Pretended all manner of terrible things. Allowed all manner of terrible things. I could turn and kiss him right now, and it would make both of us unsafe. And I still want to. On the ship. Stillness. On the land, running feet, shouted words. Dorian's name, quite definitely. And then there was May, pushing open the door of the most exclusive of the travellers' lodgings alongside the waterfront, turning her head to search for him. Oh, she didn't run, she wouldn't, not for this, but she managed to move ever so fast, all the same. The gauzy folds of her dress fanning impressively out behind her. No question that anyone would think to get in her way.
"Leave as soon as I'm ashore," Dorian said quietly. "It's not safe for any of you to stay here. Resupply further down the coast, somewhere smaller, back to Anteven waters as fast as you can. Bull..."
Finally he turned and saw the bull's face. Quite nearly impassive.
"Yeah," the bull said. "I know. We'll be careful."
His eye was wet again, and Dorian was barred even from crying with him. The injustice of it was a terrible pressure at the base of his throat, a lump he could hardly swallow around.
"Bull,"
he whispered, and faltered.
"Don't worry,"
the bull said.
"I know. Go show May you're all in one piece before she decides to come up here and start shit."
"Amartis," Dorian said, but there was still nothing to say which could be contained in this brief moment.
"All right."
The bull nodded.
Be safe, Dorian said,
turned from him, a smile for May. Perform, perform, perform. Dorian, darling, May said, caught him by the hand as he jumped down onto the quay. I'm so glad to see you safe. Her eyes on him were a little too searching.
Oh, yes, Dorian said. Grand adventure, really. I'll tell you all about it if you provide the wine. Do sit me down first, though. I'm afraid it may be some time before I regain my balance.
Well, May said. She gave no indication of accepting his act for a moment, but she was still far too conscientious to press him in public. That does seem to lie within my power. I'll call for my carriage, and then we'll see about some better clothes and a hot bath for you as well. At times, May's tendency to sweep through the world, pulling people in her wake, could be overwhelming. Just now, it was an unexpected mercy. Walk here, not that way. Don't mind the stairs. Her carriage was quick to arrive. Oh, Dorian, she said, voice low as soon as they'd closed the door behind them. Are you quite well? Such genuine worry that he had to laugh, for all that he ached. In the harbour, Atashi was already edging away from the quay, a few pairs of oars to steer her out beyond the walls. He's leaving me. He's leaving me. How ridiculous. It was Dorian who was leaving the bull.
Certainly, he said. Why ever should I not be?
I worried a little this last week, I confess. You haven't seemed yourself. He shook his head.
A personal matter. Nothing more. It was in the best of hands for the duration, I assure you.
That searching look. Oh, why must he only care for people who could see right through him? I'm quite sure you were, May said sadly. I'm sorry, Dorian.
Nonsense. Nothing to be sorry for in the slightest.
He laid his hand over hers.
Please believe that I can take care of myself. All will be well.
Hours and hours and hours of small talk and anecdotes and admittedly excellent food and wine, and Dorian wanted, at last, nothing more than to sleep for a year. Perhaps to engage in a spot of creative arson, for all that he had sympathy for everyone present in a more general sense. Retire, May said. It's quite allowed. You'll find some things of yours in your room that I imagine you'll be glad to have back. She must have read some trace of hope in his face, the thought of his abandoned belongings, the sending crystal. If he could only speak with Adar. She nodded, pushed him gently in the direction of his rooms. And yes, there. He rummaged through the mess of papers and clothes, clearly thrown hurriedly and inexpertly into the chest they lay in after his disappearance, and there. His fingers closed finally around the angular edges of the crystal.
Dorian!
Adar cried. You really are safe. I had word that you were, but I wasn't certain I believed it. What happened? Sarah's yell from somewhere in the background, Adar laughing in disbelief, sniffing away tears. Dorian sat on the floor with his shoulders against the bed frame and let his own confused tears of mingled relief and pain take him over at last. Here it is, then, a life you were content with, important work, people you adore.
Oh, you know how it is,
he said, found that his voice came out choked and unsteady.
Sometimes one simply has to be kidnapped by ludicrously muscular Vashoth for one's own safety.
I know why you're crying, but why's he crying? Sarah said. Shut, you're a right bunch.
The sound of Adar shooing her away. Dorian, she said, and Dorian sighed.
Yes, yes, he said. May wondered too. The experience was quite something. I'm very glad to have had it, if I may be embarrassingly truthful, but...
But? Dorian turned the crystal between his fingers, considered its shifting blue light.
I suppose the only problem, really,
he said, struggling to get the words out,
is that I seem to have fallen in love.
Silence. I've named it, thought Dorian. I've said the words aloud to someone besides the bull.
Oh, Adar said. Well, shit.
Startled, Dorian managed to laugh. Admittedly, it didn't stop him from crying, but it was something.
Please stop impersonating the Viscount of Kirkwall and treat my suffering with the dignity it deserves, he said.
And then Adar was laughing too, and that made Dorian laugh harder, harder, the both of them helpless with it. With the tail end of summer, rains came. They travelled south and west in covered carriages, the swaying and creaking wood almost familiar, the rain beating in uneven rhythm above them, around them. Dorian wrote and discarded his attempts at letters, began again, a bundle of papers finally, for his efforts, that May swore faithfully to send on. Never, never, never enough. Where was he now? What was he doing? Was he safe? Do you think of me? He had written in a draft and crossed it out savagely, as though he didn't know the answer. How trite one became in one's struggle to capture one's feelings on paper. How much easier it was to be witty when one had the smallest amount of emotional distance. He slept poorly in lodge after lodge, sat at a dozen different desks and wrote speeches, wrote pamphlets, wrote proposals, read them to Adar, who slept poorly too, had slept poorly for so many years now, worrying over secrets that she seemed terrified even to name, pain in a hand that no longer existed. A day's travel beyond Virantium, the bull's token on his arm loosening and fraying, and the routine had grown tiresomely familiar. And so if, when something flickered into glowing life in the mess of papers and books on that night's desk, he thought it to be Adar seeking company through the small hours of the night, well, what other conclusion was he meant to draw? He fumbled for the crystal without looking up from his notes, but what his hand closed around was not the angular form of the crystal whose twin lay in Adar's keeping at all. It was May's pendant. Dorian stared at it, glowing gently between his fingers. May was in the next room. There was no reason, unless perhaps some danger. He fumbled to touch the crystal itself, already starting to his feet, considering scenarios, routes of escape.
Hey, the bull said. Dorian?
Here, then. To stand in an unfamiliar room, before a dark window, with the lights of the town glimmering below, one moon in the sky above. To stand in one place and feel the form of the world shift against one. How many times would he experience this? Oh, a great many more yet, one must assume. But all the same, of all the things...
Dorian?
Bull asked again.
Yes,
Dorian said, muffled through a hand pressed to his mouth, fingers trembling against his lips.
Yes, oh, Amartus, I'm here. Shit, I've missed you,
the bull said in wonder.
You all right?
Well, I'm crying alone in the dark, but I suppose it's hardly the first... Oh, May, how I wish you would just tell me your plans every once in a while. I suppose you didn't want to inspire me to false hope, but... His heart beat and beat and beat in his chest.
I rather think, Dorian said, that I will be now.
Laughter.
not the helpless, hysterical laughter from that first night. Only relief. Epilogue. How then to live with distance? Stolen moments, whispered words in the middle of the night. A week in the country, say, at the summer home of a dear friend. And goodness, but who else might just happen to be in attendance? On and on. A bed one longed to share. A terrible longing for one particular person's touch. How many things Dorian had learned to fear in a way he could not previously have conceived of. How very close he had come, on one regrettably memorable occasion, to death. And what had he thought in his terror?
Bull. Bull, I'm so sorry.
But one lived. One grew a little greyer, perhaps. A little more scarred in certain cases. No less handsome for that, naturally. And one cool, umbrella-less morning, in 953 Dragon, a change came. The bull was still asleep, and although Dorian was not habitually an early riser, he had found himself made restless by the silence. Barefoot, a loose robe draped around him, he walked through the tiled rooms of the villa, came finally to stand in the kitchen doorway. He stood for a time, looking out across the garden, overgrown and mist-drenched and wild with late flowers. The sunrise was only a diffuse, glowing brightness to the east. The slight chill in the air raised the hairs on his arms, and the air smelled of clean earth. Perhaps two more days, Dorian thought. Surely two more days may be justified. An improvised breakfast, coffee brewed over an entirely conjured flame, a plate of fruit. He sat in the doorway to eat, and he was still sitting there when Adar's crystal began to glow, a minute mirror of the brightening sky. He touched it absently where it lay against his wrist, newly twisted in gold.
"My dear," he said, "do you mean to say you're already awake? Or are you going to tell me that you have yet to sleep?"
"Sorry," Adar said. "It's the latter. But it's not insomnia this time. I'm glad you sound awake. Look, I've been with Cassandra and Liliana, arguing in circles. I need to talk to you. It's about... You remember the... That is... You know that I haven't wanted to talk about... Fenharrow."
She drew a deep breath and sighed it out again.
"Well, I'm ready to talk." A long conversation then, explanations and theories in all the most secret things, the most terrifying. Quiet, desperate efforts which now turn to the north. Behind Dorian in the villa, the bull was stirring, footsteps down the hallway, water splashing in the bathhouse. "Dorian," Adar said finally, "who do you trust above all else? I mean absolutely with your life."
"Besides you, that is?"
Dorian said easily.
"Well, I have only two names for you, but that's two more than one might expect of a magister. Mevaris Talani, for one. And the Iron Bull. You intend, I collect, that I should take them into your confidence?"
"You're saying you'll help?" Adar said. "So easily."
"I'm not entirely different to the prospect of the end of the world,"
Dorian said, gentle,
"as you may have collected on previous occasions."
"You know I didn't mean that, but you've more obligations now than you used to."
"All of which will be entirely moot if the veil falls, I assure you. Yes, I'll talk to May and the bull. Bull is here now, as it happens. He may even be conscious."
"Do you think he would agree to join us? I'd like you to come down to Navarra and sit in our talks. You say he's sharp. I could use that, frankly."
"I think I might be able to persuade him,"
Dorian said, glancing over his shoulder.
he saw the bull was standing on the other side of the kitchen. A smile.
It will, of course, be terribly difficult, but as I'm sure you know, my powers of persuasion are quite impressive.
I'm unlikely to forget, Adar said. Josephine still can't believe some of the things you tricked her into, you know.
One must, after all, have some skills, Dorian said. Aside from my remarkable magical talent and notable beauty, that is.
The bull was grinning.
Talk to them, Adar said.
If you can possibly manage it, come south within the month.
I've a damn mountain of work for you, I have to tell you, but if it takes longer to get everything in order, then it takes longer. Yes, yes, Dorian said. I will endeavour to bring you news shortly.
He touched the crystal again to silence it, letting the light slowly fade into its depths. The bull came over to him, heaved himself heavily down onto the floor at his side.
You heard the most significant portion of that conversation, I assume?
Dorian said, leaned in against his side, that comfortable warmth he seemed to radiate at all times.
Yeah. I mean, you've got some filling in to do with the details, but I get the idea.
No questioning it, for all its wildness. A trust returned.
Would you...
Dorian hesitated.
That is, I believe I will be riding south as soon as we leave the villa, if May can take care of the Minrathas side of things. Would you come with me to Navarra? A significant degree of danger will be involved in this thing I have agreed to be drawn into. It would, I admit, make me feel easier to have you at my side. Getting a bit old for saving the world,
the bull said thoughtfully. His hand found Dorian's, drew it to him, held it warm against his thigh.
But I guess I missed out on my first shot. Seems fair.
What a strange twist of fear and comfort.
It would, of course, mean a great deal more time spent together,
Dorian said.
If you think you can bear it.
A tentative thought which grew between them, fragile as the morning stillness. Terrible danger they had both lived with for most of their lives. But together?
Shit, Cadan,
the bull said.
Don't know if I'll ever be able to leave you again, if it's going to be like that.
Oh, promises, Dorian murmured, and stretched himself up for a kiss. The end. This has been I Was Kidnapped by Burly Cunari Pirates, by Tofsla, and read by Kes. Author's Notes. Bull's ship is not of a type that exists in nature. I'm well aware.
Just go with it.
A whole roster of loving blame to be assigned for this one. So, with the greatest of thanks to Lindsay, who said someone should write this fic, and who proceeded to enable me every step of the way, and then went and drew the incredible art that accompanies it. To James, Bree, Mary, Katie, June, and Jasper for helping me bounce ideas around, plus Katie, Jay, and Riss for being enthusiastic first readers. Also Val, who made me tea and tolerated my furious typing. Did I catch everyone? I love you all, and you're all terrible. Reader's Notes. So I read this fanfiction for the first time about, 3 days before the finished recording of this fic. Yes, that is 3 days in which I recorded this, which is pretty quick for me. Usually it takes me 3 days to finish a half an hour fic. But the thing was, I wanted to wreck this fanfic to all my friends because it's ridiculously gorgeous and I love the way it's written. But I also really, really wanted to read it to them. So I would like to dedicate my recording of this fic to all the friends that I will read this to. It gives me warm, fuzzy feelings to know that
people are hearing my voice and hearing this gorgeous fic in my voice. It's pretty amazing. It's a nice experience to have, you know, just being able to record something written quite this beautifully. I will admit that it's one of those sort of bittersweet fics with that's more sweet than bitter that I absolutely love and haven't really encountered since Inception fandom, actually. Seeing as Dragon Age tends to be either entirely fluff or very plotty and, you know, Dragon Age-y. Yeah, so it's a good read. Lots of thanks to the author, Tofsla, for letting me record it. To be honest, it's not been a hardship. I stayed up till about 4 o'clock last night recording. I stayed up till 3 o'clock recording and had 4 hours done. I leave for my booba's house in about 10 minutes and I'm still not dressed because it's Shabbos. I'm not supposed to be recording anything or, you know, using technology at my booba's place. So that'll be fun times because I'll be sneaking this recording in and editing the fuck out of it. But mainly I just wanted to give everyone possible the experience of this fic, because despite the ridiculous title, it's one of the most moving things that I've read in a while, and it's such a satisfying read and a satisfying sort of mouthful of words when you speak it. Also, I'm so sorry. It's my first time recording Dorian and the Iron Bull's voices. I'm pretty sure I did a good Iron Bull voice, but I'm not quite so sure about my Dorian voice because his voice doesn't have anything quite as distinct as the Bull's does. Also, the Bull's accent's just easier for me. I don't know, it's further away from an Australian accent, so it's easier for me to manipulate my mouth into doing it, because it's all in the back of the throat and the tongue, as opposed to Dorian's accent, which is quite a bit closer, and I keep forgetting what to do with my mouth. I'm so sorry. Just have a posh Australian Dorian. Sorry. I had heaps of fun recording this. So much fun, you don't even understand. I'm so hopeful that my neighbours did not get to hear me read about, you know, everyone coming on Dorian's face. Which was hot. That was really hot. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll drop me a line at my Tumblr, ketzler.tumblr.com, or leave feedback for the author, which you can do at archiveofourown.org/works/5263679. I hope you enjoyed. Bye!